Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 2. Just a number of personal things are going on. We wanted Richard and Dinah to share because of their lengthy involvement in our church and prayer ministry and what it meant to them to receive those encouragements. A couple of other things I want to highlight. We've got some graduates, right? Okay, is Shelby here? Shelby is here. Where are you, Shelby? Simpson. She's a graduate, A&M. Woohoo! Is Naomi here? Is Naomi here? She's on her way back. She's also a graduate of A&M. Amen. Woo-hoo. Anybody else that's in the service that we did you graduate, Kaylee? You're a graduate. Really? Okay. I guess it just slipped. She's your daughter. That's awesome. She's awesome. That is so great. Yeah, and there were a couple of others. James Krim graduated. Lauren Doak graduated as well. So we're excited for all of these college graduates around here. Hey, okay. So I won't let you say anything, but I'll just say, get it. Okay. Get it. All right. Everybody hit their knees. Go like this. Go show. Okay. So here's what the River of Hope was a recipient of a wonderful, from the, what's it called? Crawfish Boil. Crawfish Boil. They raised this much money for River of Hope. All right. Yep. $35,000. Woohoo! That is awesome. Very good. So be out there. We're excited for that ministry for Nanette Freeline, who's part of their congregation, the executive director. Have a number of board folks that are on it. So that's some good stuff that's happening there. This Wednesday, we have our healing prayer service. It'll be over here in our prayer room. That's where that is. So if you're sick or you know somebody that is, encourage them to be here. Every time we have a healing prayer service, people get healed. 100%. I mean, I can't say 100% get healed, but we always have at least one person gets healed. So I'd encourage you, long-term sickness, short-term sickness, it doesn't matter. Show up over here. The elders will be praying for those in our church. We'll be praying for anybody that it comes. If you have anyone that you know that's been dealing with some sickness, encourage them 6:30 to be there in the prayer room, and we'll see. We'll watch what God does. It'll be a great thing. One other thing, everybody know about the First Christian Church burning everything? Okay, so for those that don't know, First Christian Church over here, on Oyster Creek on Thursday, caught fire. And on Friday, I met with her pastor, Cynthia Myers. Cynthia, they have no place really to be right now. And so I offered up our building over here. This is Building E. It's not Building A if you got our church email. It's Building E. We were looking at demolishing this building this summer. And so it sits empty. Everything's functional. So they're considering, and we'll know probably later on today, but definitely by tomorrow, whether or not they're going to use the building. If they are planning to use it, and they'll contact me, I want some of you who'd say, hey, I would be interested in help cleaning up that building. There's just some minor repairs that need to be done, and then just a lot of cleaning. If you can help out, you'd like to, take that blue card, fill it out, say, Pastor, I'll be there. Just put your name, put it in the box as you're leaving with your phone number, okay? And we'll get the word out. I'm thinking it may take us about an hour, 2 hours to get it all ready. But it's a practical way that we can help them, a congregation of about 60 people, and it'd be very meaningful to them. All right. So this morning, I'm going back into, or actually this afternoon, there it is, it says 12 o'clock, okay. I'm moving into, back to the Gospel of Mark, and I stepped out of Mark back in December, done another number of series since then, and so now back in the Gospel of Mark, and I want to talk to you about this subject of keeping the Sabbath. And so through the month, or through the summer months, I'll be speaking through Mark, and Mark's one of the great Gospels. It's one of the easier books to read, so I'd encourage you, if you've never looked at it, to consider it. As a church body, we developed what we call values in our church. And these are, for those that are new to the church, these are the things that make Willow. And I'm not going to go through them all, don't have time. But we said these are things back in 2006 that define us. And then last year, we said there are a couple of more that define us as well. But there was one that we said, you know what? This isn't really us, but we want to make it us. And that's observing the Sabbath, living a Sabbath rest lifestyle. And I can't go into all the specifics of that, don't have time for it. So we developed in 2008 this value. And here it is. And you can read it Again, I don't have time, so let's move on. All right, here we go. Good luck. We'll stop there. Okay. Now read that one with me. In summary, God gifted mankind with the Sabbath day for the purpose of reflection, renewal, and restoration by spending quality time with Him along with family and friends in simplicity. Wow. You know, the unholy trinity of affluence, technology, and communication have won the battle for the Sabbath in most people's lives. We don't even think about the Sabbath anymore. But the Sabbath all started where? It all started in Genesis chapter 2. God created the earth in how many days? Y'all tell me how many? And what did He do on the seventh day? He rested. He Sabbathed. That's what Genesis 2 says. He Sabbathed. And the Sabbath means to stop. It means to cease. It means quit working. Those things that wear you down, don't do those. And we have this ungodly influence of sort of this economic and global system that is constantly pushing at us and tell us to go, go, go all the time. The Sabbath is our way of saying, I'm not controlled by that system. I'm controlled by another system. I'm controlled by God's system. And so it starts there in Genesis chapter 2, and then for those who want to do further study, Exodus chapter 20, you have the Ten Commandments. And can anybody tell me which commandment is the Sabbath? Which number? You got it. Way to go. All right. You get the check. There you go. Okay. Here we go. So you're right. It's the fourth commandment, and it is the largest of all the Ten Commandments. Think about it. So He's telling these people, you're used to committing adultery, don't commit adultery. You're used to putting other gods before me, don't put other gods before me. You're used to not observing the Sabbath. In fact, what you do as slaves is you work, 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 work. That's all you do is you work. You're slaves. Hundreds of years you've been working, 7 days a week. Keep the Sabbath. You see, their motto as slaves is our motto today as Americans. What is it? I am so busy. That was their motto. And He says, keep it. This day is really for your benefit. We live in an overworked, overextended, overtired, ever-connected, ever-pushing culture, and life is nothing but one big obligation. It wearies the soul, it drains the body, it drives the spirit. We are slaves to an American system that says, go, 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 get, maintain. Do all that and you'll be happy. And it wears us out. The American way of life does violence to our souls. Speed, accomplishment, productivity, efficiency, activity, with this constant background noise of over-communication and unending information coming our way. We are seldom at rest. We are like meth addicts. We're like cocaine addicts or crack addicts. We got to get another hit in order to feel life. I've got to have this information. I've got to have this connectedness. I've got to have this stuff so I can feel life. I've got to be going and doing. We're bombarded with this idea. We do not have enough. And there is constant, listen, you've got this constant social media thing happening. This constant involvement with social media creates this greater disenchantment with our lives because we compare ourselves consciously or subconsciously with what other people have. And what we have is not quite enough. We go on vacation, but we need a better one because our friends are doing a better one. We can go floating down the Guadalupe River and think, we're having a great time. This is a lot of fun. And then you see your friend over in Europe floating down the Danube River in a riverboat, and you think, this isn't fun. There's this constant comparison. We're completely out of rhythm with how God desires for life and how He wants it to be. But by keeping the Sabbath, we're breaking out of that cycle. We're saying, you know what? I'm not controlled by that system. Life is not one big obligation. See, a lot of us, we don't like that. Whatever that I just did, we don't like that. Here's what some of you said. That was awkward. That made me uneasy. Yeah. And that's, see, the Sabbath is just breaking away. It's saying, you know what, I'm not going to be controlled by noise. I'm not going to be controlled by activity. I'm not going to be controlled by just stuff. It's okay, just me and God, my thoughts, with nothing else. It's rest. And so Jesus is confronted in Mark chapter 2 with people who said, you're not observing the Sabbath the way you should be. Mark chapter 2, verse 23, one Sabbath, say Sabbath. Sabbath. Okay, Sabbath. This is what Jesus is doing. He's walking through some grain fields, and his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. You know, it's like, I don't know, sunflower seeds, okay? They're just taking the sun, chomping on them, spitting out the holes, that kind of thing, whatever. But it's grain. It's not sunflower seeds, but so we can connect with it. Verse 24, but the Pharisees, now the Pharisees were a religious group that were the most conservative, most committed, and had all of these rules besides the Bible. They added all their own rules as well and said, this is how you're supposed to do life. And these guys are just bound up with legalism, with law. And so the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they, your disciples, breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? In other words, they're working. They're not supposed to be working on the Sabbath. And Jesus could have said, they're not harvesting, they're snacking, okay? They're just snacking, that's all they're doing. That's it. They weren't harvesting. But Jesus, he gives them this story. He tells them, he says, look, haven't you read in the scriptures, and this comes from 1 Samuel 21, he says, what David, King David did when he and his companions were hungry, he went into the house of God. Now, the house of God was a tabernacle, and in the tabernacle, you had two rooms, the holy place and the most holy place. And only the priests could go into those rooms. And in the holy place, there was this table that had bread on it that only the priests could eat. So David, he says, he went into the house of God and broke the law by eating that sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And guess what? He gave some to his companions. And Jesus' point here is this. It wasn't that this isn't a direct Sabbath connection. But what he is telling the Pharisees is this, is that David used what was set apart for God for good. What was set apart for God, for the priest, David took it and he used it for good. And then he goes on to say, and to illustrate, to further this point, he says, the Sabbath, what do your translations read? Okay, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, verse 27 is critical. This is kind of the crux of the message. Then Jesus said to him, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. It's not about keeping rules about what you should do or you shouldn't do. It's about restoration is what it's about. The Sabbath belongs. And then he says, so the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. And some of you say it says Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, okay? In other words, he gets to decide what's right and what's wrong. And then it says in verse 1 of chapter 3, Jesus went into the synagogue again. What do other translations say there? Jesus went into the synagogue. What does it say? Anybody looking? Anybody reading? And another time, as was his custom, as was his pattern. This gives us the idea that Jesus was doing this all the time. That tells us that on the Sabbath, which was Saturday at this time, on the Sabbath, Jesus made sure that he was in the synagogue, which was like the church, it was the worship center, whatever. He was with people. He was worshiping his Father. He was teaching the Word. He was helping others to encounter God. And so he's there, and there's a man with a deformed hand. And since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. We're not going to allow Jesus to do any mercy ministries. That's why I say, if we're going to clean this house, we may clean this up today. Okay, we may clean it up today. So, you're working. No, we're not. It's mercy. Amen? It's mercy. It's blessing somebody. If you come and you got an attitude, don't show up, okay? I don't want you. There's people who want to show mercy, okay? So he saw this person in need. It says, and Jesus said to the man, deformed hand, come and stand in front of everyone. And then he turned to his critics and said, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath Or is it a day for doing evil? Is it a day to save life? Is it a day to destroy life? But they wouldn't answer him. And he looked around at them. And look what it says in verse 5. Haven't you ever felt this towards somebody? He looked at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Have you ever felt that way to somebody? I'm so mad at you. I'm so sad for you. I mean, that would lead you to this place. Why would you act that way? But what caused you to act that way? And so he's sensing it. And so he says to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. And at once, the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. It was not a day necessarily to cease all activity. It was a day to do good. So on the Sabbath, we see Jesus going into the synagogue, worshiping, doing these things. In fact, read it with me again. God gifted mankind with the Sabbath day for the purpose of reflection, renewal, and restoration by spending quality time with Him along with family. In simplicity. You can add on there, he used it as a day of doing mercy. Pete Scazzaro, in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, talks about the four key things that you should do on a Sabbath, the day that you set aside to say, this is my Sabbath day. And so this is in the book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. He says the very first thing, and this is because that's what the word means, Sabbath means, it means stop. Say stop. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got to stop. You've got to stop. You've got to stop. It's a day that you cease work. It's a day you realize, I'm not in charge of the world. God's got this thing. I can stop and trust Him that He's going to take care of it. We recognize, here's what we recognize on this day, on the Sabbath day. And for most of you, that's Sunday. For others, it might be another day for the week. For me, it's Saturday, okay? On that day, I say, you know what? God's got it. My goal's not going to get accomplished. I'm not going to get it done. It's not going to get finished. God's got it. It's our way of saying, letting go of the illusion that we are indispensable for running the world. God is on the throne. He's managing quite well. He really doesn't need your help. See, but most of us feel this way when it comes to our life. Look at this image right here. Anybody ever been there? You know where that is? Rockefeller Plaza, Atlas, holding what? The world on his shoulders. That's the way some of you feel. World's on my shoulders. I'm responsible for everything around my house, my job, my bills, blah, 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 blah. And this is the way you are. Everything's on your shoulders. Do you know what's in front of Atlas? This is the funniest thing. St. Patrick's Cathedral is right there in front of it. The image of Jesus. The image of the body of Christ on the earth. Do you know what is inside St. Patrick's Cathedral? Now, this is a funny thing. So we see Jesus say, no, come to me, all you who are what? All you who are weary and heavy laden. It's like he's saying to mankind, come, I'm right here in front of you. Just come to me. Inside St. Patrick's Cathedral is this picture. Y'all know who that is? That's the boy Jesus. And what's he holding in his hand? That is not a volleyball. Holding the world in his hand. I mean, do you not see the irony of this thing? It is so funny. So where do you fall? Do you feel like this? It's all on me. Or are you saying, you know what? He's really got this thing. That's what the Sabbath does. You stop. Say stop. Say rest. Rest, okay? Rest is, once we stop, we accept God's invitation to rest. He rested. God rested. We engage in those activities that restore us, that replenish us. From taking a long nap, hiking, reading, eating good food, enjoying a hobby, playing sports. What is it that restores you? Staying away from things that create negative stress in your life. There's a lot more I could say about that. But, you know, Sabbath is not the day that you say, okay, I'm going to get everything ready first and then I'll be able to enjoy the rest of the day. No, it's a day that you allow it to happen. Delight. Say delight. All right. After finishing his work, God said, he pronounced it was very good. And this very good means, oh, I'm glad it's over. It didn't mean that. It meant, man, I'm really happy with what happened here. This was really good. It was that kind of joy that happens. And so on the Sabbath is the day that you delight. It's a day of slowing down. It's a day of, well, we'll get into contemplation, which is an outgrowth of this. But it's a day of slowing. You can't rush through things. Have you ever gone through a regular museum with little children? You ever done that? Taking your children like through a regular museum? I mean, it's like walking around with a greyhound. It's just like they're just pulling. It's just like crazy. They're not stopping at anything. Well, on the Sabbath, you got to stop. You got to delight. You got to take time. Dallas Willard was asked the question, Christian leader, was asked, what is the key to the spiritual life? And he responded, the key to the spiritual life is this, ruthlessly eliminate hurry. When you delight, you slow down. And then the last one is contemplation. I added with gratitude. Contemplation with gratitude. What gives you joy on this? What is it that you think about? This quote says, we are not making time off from God. We are drawing closer to Him. Sabbath is an invitation to see the invisible God in the visible world, to recognize the hidden ways that God comes to us through His goodness, through a good meal, through fun conversation, through activity outside. And so when it comes, why is the Sabbath so difficult? Let me give you this, and we'll get to the practicalities. Why is the Sabbath so difficult? Slaves can't rest. That's why. Slaves can't rest. Free people can. Free people can rest. And I tell you, that's a big deal for a lot of us, is we're slave to the system. So how do you get there? Number one is this. If you want to participate in the Sabbath, you got to prepare for it. And I think the last point is similar to it. Let me see. Yeah, let your week revolve around the Sabbath. In other words, you say to yourself, you know what? Instead of just saying, I'm going to see what happens, and then I'll take the Sabbath if it works out or not, you're saying, I'm going to work my week so that the Sabbath will happen. I'm going to prepare for it. If that means paying the bills early, doing the things early on during the week, so that on the Sabbath you can actually break away and do it, then do it. What day works with your schedule? For most, Sunday does. For me, as I said, it doesn't necessarily. It may be Saturday. It may be Friday. Maybe like some of you, James, he's a truck driver out here. So James, he's going to have to choose different times. Maybe Monday, maybe a Thursday or whatever. Whatever works with your schedule. Let me tell you one practical thing that I did, and then we'll close. I don't have it on me. Anybody got an iPhone? iPhone. Okay, you got an iPhone? Okay, so I had an iPhone. I had an iPhone 5 or 6, and I got rid of that thing. Now, this is just for me, okay? I'm not giving any blanket statement for anybody else. I'm saying for me because I have to live a Sabbath. I have to live a Sabbath lifestyle on a daily basis to walk in the Sabbath, okay, so that I'm living in rest. Here's what my iPhone 5 or 6 was becoming. Let me tell you. It was becoming a partner. It was a partner rather than a tool. And let me show you. Hey, give me your phone. My wife, she's fine. She doesn't answer texts. She doesn't look at emails. She doesn't even hardly listen to voicemails. So, you know, anyway. Here we go. Here's the way it was. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, should I? Okay. I'm going to get it later. Okay. Here's the way it was with me. How you doing? You feeling okay? Anybody want me? That's why this thing, it'd become a partner and not a tool. And so what I did was I dumbed down. I got a 2011. I don't even know what it is. It is an awful phone, though. I'll tell you that. It is the most awful, horrendous, glorious thing I ever did. Because all I can do is call and text. That's it. I can't read my email. I can't get on the internet. I get lost because I cannot get directions. That's okay. It happened to me the first week I got it. I thought, Lord, but it was okay. Because what it did, it created a break in my life. It created a break. So I wasn't always just doing this and thinking I've got it. I was able to create space in my life to hear from God again. So just a thing for you. Here's what I encourage you. It's not on this screen, but I would encourage you to disconnect as much as you can from technology and work and let your conversations be in person. Don't sneak a peek at work. I'll just a little bit. You do a little bit and you always end up doing more than you want to, right? Okay, let's stand. I was 1 minute over. Okay, let's stand.
Amen. Amen.
Have you found your rest in God? Have you found your rest in God? Why aren't you taking the Sabbath? Why don't you take the Sabbath? And what's behind that? What's behind that thing that says you've always got to be busy or productive? You see, some of us have come to believe that if I just sit around and do nothing, then I'm inefficient. And important people, they don't do it. And goodness gracious, the devil never takes a day off. I didn't know the devil was my example. Jesus kind of is. Amen? Amen. And he observed the Sabbath. So if you're here today and there's just this restless sense in you about just kind of being out of alignment with what's God's best, I encourage you to come to the altar and let me have the prayer team and the deacons that are going to be down front. They'd like to pray with you. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with God, they can show you how to, you can know God and know peace. Amen. So deacons, prayer team, y'all come down front. Father, we want our lives and every part of it to honor you with everything that we have. And Lord, we want our lives to reflect peace and stillness and solitude. We want to be people who can just be in your presence and be nothing else and be okay with that. So show us how to live that Sabbath lifestyle. And how to live once a week in the Sabbath, on a Sabbath day. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
If you're visiting with us for the first time, my wife and I will be in the back, and we'd love to give you a gift. I'd love to visit with you that way. Amen. All right. Now, brothers and sisters, from Acts chapter 20, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can and does build you up and can give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.